my family, raised the United States. A beautiful, wonderful, love you guys, and appreciate you guys, and wonderful to be here. So we've been kind of working our way through different characters in the Old Testament, and so far we've seen kind of Adam and Eve in their story. We've seen Abraham and Isaac, and then we kind of pivoted a little bit, and we saw, we didn't go into Jacob yet. We're going to do that today. It's going to be really fun to look at Jacob's story, but we looked at Lot's story and how tragic that was, and then we kind of traced Lot's line down to Ruth, and that was kind of as far as we've gotten in the Old Testament so far. But we have to look at Jacob. I've been teaching Jacob to the men at the mission, and oh my gosh, it's been so eye-opening to look at his life before he wrestles with God, and all that he is, and all his identity. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, is kind of early scenes from his life, and then how it kind of all crescendos with God's speaking into his life, and then God wrestling with him, and all of the things that God does with Jacob, because obviously our story is embedded in that story as well. So I'd like to pray for us, and then we're going to start in Genesis 25, verses 19 through 34, with the birth of Esau and Jacob, and then we'll kind of work our way slowly through some of these passages together. So let me pray first, and then let us start moving through this story. Jacob and Esau. So, Father, thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you that you are with us, and that you love us, and that you are going to speak to us this morning through your word. Thank you that we've been able to look at different characters so far from the Old Testament, such as Adam and Eve, and Abraham and Isaac, and then we kind of shifted to Lot's story and Ruth, and now we kind of keep on moving systematically through looking at Jacob and Esau's story today. And Lord, I'm thankful that we can look at these different character sketches, these biographies as it was, because there's so many things we can learn about human nature and about ourselves and how to have a relationship with you, and positive and negatives, pros and cons of what this thing looks like. So Lord, I pray that you would be our teacher this morning, that you would speak through my lips and through your word, and that we would learn something from this, and we would see ourselves as we see you. And there's so many wonderful opportunities awaiting us, Lord, as we look at the scripture this morning. So I just pray that you would speak to us and to our hearts, Lord, through your word. So thank you for what you're about to do. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right, so Genesis 25, starting in verse 19. This is the story of the birth of Esau and Jacob. All right, so I think you guys are pretty much there. So let's begin. The birth of Esau and Jacob. These are the generation of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban. Remember that name, Laban. We're going to see him a whole lot. The sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her. Now, even before we go into what the Lord said, I just love that something's going on in her. And instead of trying to figure it out herself, what does she do? She goes and she inquires of the Lord. She asks the Lord a question, assuming that the Lord is going to answer, trusting that God is going to speak. And God speaks to her. I just love this, that God is a relational God. He speaks to us. And we have records of that all through the scriptures, of a relationship with God, where we can have this kind of, this this kind of relationship with Him. When we're going through something, we can inquire of the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what is going on in this situation? What would you have me do? All I can think of is the David story. When David is obviously growing through the ranks and he doesn't know which way to go, and he inquires of the Lord, and the first time God says, go attack him from the front. It's a pretty good strategy. He does it and they have victory. Well, the next time around, you would think, well, maybe that's just the strategy to use. God says we're just going to keep using that strategy. But you know what he does the second time around? He inquires of the Lord. And the second time around, the Lord says to him, do not go from this time. The front ways, go around the back. Ambush him from behind. If you just assume, well, God spoke, and we're going to do what God said, and God spoke this one time, and no, it's like an ongoing relationship with God where he's talking with God and listening to God in real time. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. And I love it here. And she goes and she talks to God and listens to God. And God speaks to her and says, this is what's going on. So verse 22, she goes and inquires of the Lord. And verse 23, and the Lord said to her, it's such a balm to my heart that God is a God who loves to communicate with us. We're not left in the dark. He loves to talk with us. He loves to guide us and lead us. He does that through the Word. He does it through His Spirit. He does it through His people. He does it through circumstances, through prayer, a bunch of other ways as well. I love it. The Lord said to her, two nations, this is verse 23, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples are within you. They shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Whoa, that's pretty significant. So she goes to the Lord, and the Lord's like, wow, this is what's going on inside you right now. You have two nations inside you. I didn't know I had nations inside me. I thought they were babies. Well, yeah, they're babies, but they're also what it represents. You have two nations, and they are warring inside you. And two peoples are inside you, and they're going to be divided. And the one is going to be stronger than the other. And here it is. The older one is somehow going to serve the younger. Okay. And this is exactly what happens. God's speaking it in before it even takes place in our experience. Isn't this wonderful that we can go to God and He gives us this kind of revelation of what's going to take place? It's wonderful. And so this is exactly what happens. And we're given a clue of where the story is going to go before these kids are even born. So let's see how the story plays out. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. Okay, so that's the first thing God said. There's two people inside you. Well, maybe, did they have sonograms back then? Was she able to kind of figure that out? I mean, maybe the baby bump was a whole lot bigger. But did she really know that there was two kids inside her? Well, it just turns out that there were twins in her womb, just like God said. Isn't that something? And so the first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. And they called his name Esau. So afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So right off the rip, Jacob is holding the heel of his brother. And literally, that's going to be his identity from that day forward. He's the one who grasps the heel. That's literally what Jacob means. The one who grasps at the heel. And so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Wow. Okay. So when the boys grew up, so look at that. So from verse 26 to verse 27, there's a passage of who knows how long. It just says they grew up. We don't know how long it is. We can satisfy our curiosity. Obviously, the Bible doesn't give us every single detail of every question that we have. It does give us enough to draw us in. So all of a sudden, from literally, I have a little tiny white space between those verses, the boys grow up. Again, we don't know really how old they are, but they grow up. They're probably adults by this time, or at least, you know, older teenage to, you know, they're older, okay? Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. So already you're seeing the personalities come out. Esau, wonderful hunter, strong man. He's out in the field. He loves that kind of thing. Jacob, quiet, dwelling in tents. And I don't really like verse 28 all that much, because you're going to see how this plays out. What the parents do in moderation, the children tend to do in excess. So already the seeds of favoritism are being sown here. And this is only going to start growing and getting worse and worse in the family line. You probably can see this in our own family lines. If you look back, if you look forward, some of the bad patterns sometimes get pushed ahead. And actually sometimes good stuff does too. Thank God. But here we see the seeds of favoritism being sown. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Uh-oh. So one parent loves one while the other parent loves the other. Not good. This is going to be a huge rift between them, but in kind of an interesting way to actually fulfill the prophecy that God gave when she went and talked to God about this. Okay? So keep that in mind. This is going to keep on playing out. So now look at verse 29 and following. So once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Some of your translations might say famished. You may use other words there. It's this idea, he's been out all day hunting. He's literally like, I am so hungry, I am so tired, ever been there? Sometimes when I'm working really, really hard, I forget to eat, and then I work 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then you kind of like, I probably should eat something, right? I forget to drink water, you know? You're just so enmeshed in what you're doing, and then you're like, oh. So he comes in, he's like, give me some. So here's Jacob, he's building, you know, I'm cooking this stew, and he's like, give me some of that stuff. Well, what happens? This is why his name is called Edom for this reason. Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Esau said, I'm about to die. Now, is he really about to die? Or is this guy just kind of a fleshly guy, focused so much on his appetites and his self and whatever? I don't know. He said, I'm about to die. What use is the birthright to me? So Jacob said, swear to me now. So already we're seeing the seeds of Jacob being a very deceitful man, a manipulator, using the situation to his advantage. He's kind of scans things. He's looking for an in, and he just goes for the kill. Right? Esau, he's hungry. He's coming in from the field, he's famished, he's exhausted, and here he's cooking the stew. I could see, I had a brother, and I had two cousins. I could just see my brother coming in, and I would just be like, this is good. Just kind of rub it in, right? He's like, He's like, I want some of that stuff. Give me some of that. He's like, well, give me your birthright. He's like, come on, I'm so hungry, I could die. Who cares about my birthright? You take it. Give me some. He just like chomps it down and goes off on his way. Esau, not the brightest crayon in the box, let's just say. Even though he's really not so smart here. So, scripture says, he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Literally for a bowl of stew. Wow. This is the ultimate example of living in the moment, in the flesh, for yourself. No foresight. No forward thinking, just literally in the moment. So then Jacob gave him some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. So as the firstborn, you get the birthright. And here he is, despising it, saying, you know what, doesn't matter. I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. This is, remember when we talked about Adam and Eve and the serpent saying, you don't need God. You decide for yourself what's right and wrong. In the moment, you whatever you want, you grab, you take. You don't need God telling you what's right and wrong. You want this thing, you take it. Here he is, doing the same exact thing. And he betrays Esau's line, and things dealing with Esau. It's kind of always kind of represents the flesh somehow. Kind of an interesting study in itself. So here he is, setting the stage for the rest of his life and his lineage. Not good. And so Jacob, using the situation to his advantage, he's not going to be done. It's not going to be good. So here's Esau selling his birthright for a bowl of stew. Not good. But let's keep going because there's so much more on here. All right, let's go to Genesis 27 now. Because we're, like I said, we're kind of doing an overview of the life of Jacob. And I want us to see key moments from his life. This is part one. Next time I come back, part two is going to kind of hopefully pull it all together as well. So let's keep going in Genesis 27 now. So if you thought, you know, Jacob was done kind of messing with Esau, I'm like, okay, wow, you got the birthright from him. All right, good job. Like, you manipulated your brother and a friend's need. All right. Well, he's not done yet, sadly. Let's find out what happens. Chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so he could not see, called Esau his older son and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. He said, behold, I am old. I don't know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Interesting play on words here. Here's Isaac. He loves Esau because he loves the food Esau brings. I love you, but I kind of love what you bring to me, right? There's something that you give to me. You give me tasty game. You give me food from out there. I love you because of that. And so it's a love kind of based on performance, based on what he can do. This is not going to be good for him. It's not going to be good for Isaac. It's not going to be good for Esau. It's not good when we base the love of our children on what they do, performance, anything of that sort. Or people in that matter. What happens if they can't do the thing anymore? I only love you if. I only love you when. Not good. Not good at all. And so here's Esau playing it out to the extreme with his brother. I'm so hungry. You give me, oh, good. I'm just, woofing it down. Who cares about my birthright? Well, here he is. Isaac, go get me some food before I die. Some of that tasty food that I love. Ooh, wow, okay. So Rebekah is listening to this. This is verse 5. When Isaac spoke to his son Esau. Remember, Rebekah's favorite is Jacob. And so this is kind of a splintered family here. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare for them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother. Now, when I first read this, I'm hoping Jacob's going to say, Mom, this is wrong. What you're asking me to do is deceitful. It's wrong. You want me to go and get something, and you want me to come in and basically, no, this is wrong. Doesn't do it. He's living up to his name. His name means deceiver, one who grasps the heel. It's living up to it. So verse 11, so Jacob says to Rebekah's mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. In other words, how can I get away with this? I'm smooth, he's hairy. This isn't going to work very well. Perhaps my father's going to feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and he's going to bring a curse on me, and not a blessing. In other words, if this goes wrong, I'm going to get cursed, not blessed. I want to find a sneaky way to get blessed. His mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Bring them to me. Now, as we're reading through Genesis, there was another point in which someone else listened to a woman's voice instead of the voice of reason. It happened to be in the garden when God spoke very clearly to Adam, and he said, well, I'm going to listen to the voice of my wife. Remember when God is doling out the discipline? He said, because you listened to the voice of your wife instead of me. Well, anyway, there's all these little callbacks, all these little hints that point back to the original story. And here he is doing it again. If only he had learned from that story instead of repeating it. Sometimes we do the same thing, sadly. So he's finding a way to game the system. He said, well, if he touches me and realizes that I'm smooth and my brother's hairy, man, I'm going to get cursed. I don't want to get cursed. I want to be blessed. So already we see that he wants to be blessed. Well, Mom, Rebecca is like, just listen to me. Let that curse fall on me. You just listen to my voice. Obey my voice. Remember what we talked about in the beginning? Rebecca, inquiring of the Lord? That's the voice you should be inquiring of and listening to. Instead, he's listening to the wrong voice. He said, only obey my voice. No! Listen to God. Don't do this. This is going to not go well for you. No. He's locked in now. Verse 14. So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goat she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into the father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? One sec here. I've got to look at my notes. I think my notes maybe missed something. Sorry about this. Okay. So he's basically, again, listening to his mom. And the mom dresses him up. Not good. He's pretending to be his brother. He's stealing now not only the birthright, he's stealing the blessing. He's taking the best garments. He's putting all of it on his neck, on his arms. He's taking the clothes and putting it on. This is not good. He's putting on all this stuff to be deceptive. So then he goes into his father, verse 18, says, my father, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. That's called a lie. No, you're not. I have done as you've told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. No. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether or not you really are my son, Esau, or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. When something doesn't exactly sit right in your gut, in when you just kind of, it doesn't pass the smell test. You probably should pay attention to that. He's like, something is off here. But he keeps on going, right? He didn't recognize, I'm sorry, verse 23. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, his brother's, like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. That's significant. What does God name in Scripture? In the Old Testament, I am. And so, just when you're making deep identity statements about yourself, just keep that in mind. Wow. I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. Gosh, there's so much irony here. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Remember the prophecy? Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. So here's Isaac blessing Jacob. He thinks he's Esau, and he's blessing him with this amazing blessing that you're basically going to be ruler over others and all these wonderful things. Now, my question is, does this blessing stand? Because what we'll see next time is that he's going to wrestle with God all night. I believe it's a Christophany, because this blessing isn't real to him. It doesn't really saturate the deepest part of his being. Every man, every person longs to know, by God, by people too, this is who I am, this is my identity, and this is my destiny. And when we try to steal it from others, it doesn't exactly settle. And so he's going to wrestle with God all night long. You know what he's going to ask him for? I want you to bless me. Really? Because I stole it, so it's almost like it doesn't count. Even though I'm taking this from my father, I'm hearing these words, they don't settle in. I need to hear your voice speaking over me that better word. And he's going to end up wrestling with him all night long. And finally, at daybreak, the Lord takes his little pinky, as I imagine it, touches his hip socket, his hip is thrown out of socket, and so there he is, limping the rest of his life with a new name and a new identity. And God's going to give him a brand new name. This is all spoiler for next time. We'll go through all of this, but he's going to give him a brand new name and a brand new identity. His new name's going to be Israel, one who's striven with God and overcomes. We need to hear God's voice for our truest identity, our deepest destiny. Nothing else will do. And here's Jacob stealing it from his brother Esau, and the story ends with Esau coming in. You guys know the story. Let me just read you the verses here. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely even gone out from his presence of his father Isaac, Esau's brother came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Oh, that would have killed Isaac on the spot, I would imagine. What do you think Isaac's feeling? It says Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him. And oh yeah, that blessing stands, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great cry. In bitter cry, he said to his father, bless me, my father, even me. He said, your brother came deceitfully, and he's taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken my blessing. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? And obviously we know where the story goes. Poor Esau, man, he gets shafted twice. He loses his birthright. Now he loses the blessing. Because he's not listening also to the voice of God either. This is so significant for us to be men and women who listen to the voice of God. And just like Rebecca did in the beginning, we inquire of God and we listen to him. We don't do life without him. Because when we do, it gets really messy. But when God blesses us with our identity and destiny, we keep going to him, and that's the way to live. So we'll stop there for today. We'll pick it up next time. We'll keep on going in the Jacob story. There's a whole lot more. But let me pray for us as we wrap up. So Lord, thank you that we can start the Jacob story today. We're going to be in this for a little bit, Lord. And thank you that we can look at these wonderful themes. Where do we turn to for a real blessing that will stick? And Lord, we need to know who we are. Our identity. And we need to know our destiny. And sometimes we take it to other people, we take it to other things. And I can't answer it for us, Lord. We need to take it to you. And so Rebecca got it right in the beginning. She inquired of you, and you spoke to her. I think that's an example for us. Help us go to you and ask you these questions and listen to you and trust you and let you speak these things over us, Lord. Because otherwise, sometimes we go the other way. Sometimes the flesh kicks in. Sometimes we do things that we regret, like Jacob, like Esau. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us learn from this, to be men and women who inquire of you, walk with you, and talk with you about everything. And thank you that we can just grow in this story today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.